Hi, and welcome to Being Lutheran, a podcast dedicated to proclaiming the excellencies of Jesus Christ and the biblical theology expressed in the Lutheran confessions. Today, Pastor Jason Gooden, Pastor Brett Bowe, and Pastor Adam Mosier continue their discussion on the Small Call articles, looking at Part 3, Article 8 on Confession and Absolution. Being Lutheran is sponsored by the Free Lutheran Bible College and Seminary, establishing students in the eternal and inerrant Word of God for a life of faith in Jesus Christ and faithful service in His kingdom since 1964. To learn more or apply, look at flbc.edu.
Welcome to the Being Lutheran podcast. I am Pastor Brett Bowe. I'm joined by
Pastor Jason Goodham
and Pastor Adam Mosier.
All right, welcome back, guys. We are starting a new batch of episodes today. We're continuing to walk through the Small Called articles. We're on 3.8 today.
3.8. We're getting close. Is it? Mm-hmm. Is it 11 articles in part 3?
I don't remember.
Ahead of time, so you can see how much show prep we do on this. One thing to clarify and apologize, since we were tagged
15.
Mm-hmm. Well, so we're halfway there.
Yeah.
In a recent Facebook Twitter post. For those people who don't like our witty banter at the front of every
episode.
Yes, the
horsing around.
We're not changing. You guys know what you're getting. And you're just not going to get 25 minutes of breathless theology from us. Sorry.
Yeah.
So,
right.
Breathless. Sounds so romantic.
Who do you think we are? Jordan Cooper?
That's a good thing.
No, we will not.
Yep. We have a niche. And that niche is to be of a much lower quality than Jordan.
I had dinner with him in November, I guess. It would have been several months ago now.
ETS?
And he said, oh, yeah. He goes, I definitely recommend your podcast. And the way that he said it, he said, you know, it's very... how did he say? It was very kind and erudite, but basically low level. For those who are really basic, I tell them all about you guys. You know?
So I definitely recommend your podcast in the same way I recommend Sesame Street to struggling parents.
For those who don't know the alphabet.
Being Lutheran, the Sesame Street of Lutheran podcasts.
I'll take it.
Yeah.
We will never try to be anything we're not on this podcast.
So the topic for today is...
Confession. Now that we've publicly whined, confession, absolution, which is a topic without exhaustion in the Book of Concord. It's everywhere, but I think most of us are most excited to get to the part about enthusiasm.
This is
probably the high point of the Small Called articles is this part.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah. And I know we have talked about confession and absolution before, and just a reminder too, when you go to our website, you can search for
all the way back to number one.
All the way, and so like if you type in like say confession and absolution, it'll probably pull up all the different episodes that have that topic tied into it. So today we're here in 3.8. I'm going to go ahead and read a couple of paragraphs. It's a little bit longer article, so, listener, you can read it on your own, on your plan to read through the Book of Concord in a year or however long it takes you.
DailyBOC.substack.com.
Shout out for Jason's side project. Side project to the side project.
My also free side project. Am I doing the side hustle?
Yeah, side hustles.
Both of my side hustles are costing me money. Am I doing it right?
Yeah. No. Well, if you're Substack, you're helping them. So.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Great. Yeah.
All right, let's read this. It says, since absolution, or the power of the keys, which was instituted by Christ in the gospel, is a consolation and help against sin and a bad conscience, confession and absolution should by no means be allowed to fall into disuse in the church, especially for the sake of timid consciences and for the sake of untrained young people who need to be examined and instructed in Christian doctrine. However, the enumeration of sins should be left free to everybody to do or not do as he will. As long as we are in the flesh, we shall not be untruthful if we say, I am a poor man full of sin. I see in my members another law, etc. Romans 7:23. Although private absolution is derived from the office of the keys, it should not be neglected. On the contrary, it should be highly esteemed and valued like all other functions of the Christian church. And we'll end our reading of that at that point. We're talking about confession and absolution.
Can I get something out of my system really quick just to get it out? Because otherwise it's going to be bugging me the whole time. The Power of the Keys, that sounds like a John Tesh album.
Basketball.
Easy listening, mid-80s, John Tesh, The Power of the Keys.
All I can think of him is from Entertainment Tonight. I forget that he had a lucrative singing career.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the theme song to NBA on NBC.
That was his?
Yeah.
That changes everything.
Really? I did know that, actually.
Yeah.
I did not know that. I was today years old. When
there you go.
That.
Yes. So,
all right.
The power of the keys. So maybe... let's start there. I mean, what is the connection from the power of the keys to confession and absolution?
So confession and absolution is what you do with the keys.
Okay. pushing the button to open up,
like the
unlock
key fob.
They didn't
have that 500 years ago.
Yeah.
So the office of the keys, again, as we've talked about, goes all the way back to Matthew 16. And on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will never prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom. And the keys of the kingdom are used to open and lock forgiveness of sins. And so that you bind consciences or you loose consciences based on the repentance and the proclamation of the gospel. Mm-hmm. And so confession, then, it becomes a matter of what do we do when someone confesses their sins? And not to be unfair, but to be probably a little bit more colloquial than the theology will have us, the Roman Catholic response to confession is you need a little bit more skin in the game. We need to make sure you're earnest. And so Roman Catholics will follow confession with penance. Lutherans will follow confession with absolution. When a conscience
Here,
is laid
do,
bare,
do 10 Hail Marys.
And, yeah, yeah, exactly. Yep. And so that's really the difference, is every time a repentant soul makes confession, it must be met with the gospel.
Yeah. Great. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Any other introductory comments here, Adam?
No, I think that's good. I was just going to go, your version of the Book of Concord that you're reading from says, although private absolution is derived from the office of the keys, it should not be neglected. Although it sounds like kind of a contrast there, the Kolb version does say, like, because it is derived from the office of the keys, it should not be neglected. So just as an idea, it's not setting up that contrast. It's setting up a
derivative.
Logical flow.
Connection. Yeah. Yep.
A logical connection. Because we have this gift of the office of the keys, we should be taking advantage of it. It's not something that we should shy away from. Yeah, and it's hard in this, like we've talked about before, we have some inside baseball with our church body, the AFLC, Associated Free Lutheran Congregations. We have this idea that, it's kind of that, and we're going to get into this a little bit later, but private confession, you know, is within one's own heart, you know, and there's a
between
bit,
you and God.
Yeah, between you and God. There's a little bit of reticence to actually have that kind of a confession out loud to somebody else. But it's exactly like the end goal, like you said, the difference between the Catholics and Lutherans, the end goal is absolution. And we absolutely need to hear that. We need to hear the forgiveness of our sins, and we need to hear it from the voice of another. So, you know, to neglect confession is to neglect the gift of the office of the keys that God has given us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there probably needs to be a little bit of clarification in multiple directions here so that we're all on the same page. So what we're talking about in this article is not corporate confession of sins.
Right. Yep.
And
yeah, this is the private
confession
of absolution.
And so you have a couple different reactions based on what theological tradition you come from. Mm-hmm. The first rejection of private confession and absolution will be the Catholic reflex.
That's too Catholic. Yep.
And
I guess before you go there, it seems like even in the writing of this that there was a little bit of a reticence or a hesitancy to do this. He's saying let it not be allowed to fall into disuse. I'm kind of curious if it aligns with what we're saying here too.
I think doesn't have to do with the fact that this is a time and a situation where Luther and his followers, those who are, you know, really wrestling with their theology, for lack of a better way to say it, at the time, and this whole movement of Protestantism is a reaction against the Catholic Church. It's easy to throw the baby out with the bathwater. Yep.
That's the phrase to use here.
You know, it's easy to throw the baby out with the bathwater, and Luther is wanting to say, now, there are definitely, you know, things that the Catholics are wrong on. In fact, I think he calls the Pope an enthusiast later on in this particular article. But
yes.
The, uh, just the conversations of Luther was very clear. Let's not throw everything out. Let's not throw the baby out with the bathwater. There's some real value in what they do, how they set it up, how they even disused or misused it or didn't use it is not the problem. You know, it doesn't make the thing a problem. It is the thing. Well, let me say that again. The fact that it isn't used is the problem, or the fact that it's misused is the problem, not the thing itself. You know, that's what I meant to say. So that's, I think, what's going on here.
And we're not overreacting simply because the Catholic says. So this is very similar to, if you've ever taken a church history class or followed, it's very similar to the iconoclastic controversy, is because the Roman Catholics did it, we're going to reject it in toto, right? Mm-hmm. That we're just...
So paint the beautiful frescoes, paint them over with, you know,
with white
paint, yep. So that you don't... Yeah,
you don't sin. And it in just so that we're clear, it happens today.
Yeah. And when I come back, you said it's too Catholic. Were there other reasons for...
So there will be, yeah. Mm-hmm. And so what I want to get to is this idea of theology as a pendulum. And you have to view truth as the pendulum in a static, vertical position. But what happens in church history, and this goes all the way back to Scripture, you remember the epistles were written because of error in the church, is that the pendulum swings one way. And then far too often is not to correct that by getting the pendulum to stop at vertical again, but to push it back in the other way. And, you know, anything off center on this pendulum metaphor is in error, you know, or to mix metaphors, you can fall off the horse in both directions.
Mm-hmm. Or one of our employees here uses this with the students, the two ditches metaphor, yep. Right? It's easy to fall off in one of two ditches, you know, on either side, and it's on the road is where you want to be.
Yep, exactly. So that's the first thing, is the Roman Catholics did it. We should not do private confession and absolution. And there are good reasons why we don't do Roman Catholic confession and absolution. Yeah, I've already brought up penance. Yep. The Roman Catholic theology of this was, and I think still is, that once a year you are required to confess every sin you committed. And the Lutherans in multiple places in the Book of Concord says we can't even do that.
Right.
No es posible, you know, kind of a thing, as you were telling the Spanish Inquisition. See what I did there? the other reaction, and this comes later on in the history of Protestantism, and this is probably where our particular tradition, Adam, you've brought the AFLC into this, really struggles. And American, you know, the notorious GAC comes into this, is that the second thing is when a pastor says, I forgive your sins, the reaction against the absolution is, no, that's just between me and God. And so the only way then you're receiving the gospel in certain strains of Christianity or traditions is either in a corporate worship service or inside your own mind and heart. And the problem with this, and eventually where Lutheran theology goes with this, is that in either of those, whether inside my own head and heart or at the worship service, is there is a wide open door for me to disqualify myself from that word of gospel. And private confession and absolution is specifically targeted at the burdened conscience. And so that if your conscience is burdened, you go to a pastor or a fellow believer, and what ends up happening is as you repent of your sin, as you confess it, then that person puts the gospel in your ears only, and there is no avenue to disqualify yourself. And that's the strength of private confession and absolution, which ties us back to Luther's exhortation, let it not fall into disuse.
Yeah. And when it does fall into disuse, it's interesting because our reaction, you just shared this, is like, well, that's very Catholic. But the reality, if you don't go the direction that you just described, where a person is able to hear those words and there's no way to try and get out of this, you know, the reality is, if you are having this guilt conscience, our natural reaction, is it not, to justify ourselves before God? It's to clean ourselves up. It's to do penance, actually.
And
it's interesting. So when we err in that direction, we are also being quite Catholic, because the natural reaction isn't, oh, you're forgiven. It's, oh, do better, try harder, do more next time, which is functionally penance, which is also quite Catholic. And it's interesting how the people who would argue that something's too Catholic is actually, you know, they swing the other direction. Again, two ditches, you both end up in the, well, Catholic ditch.
Yeah.
Well, and we've mentioned this way back,
yeah.
but the problem with generic American Christianity is that they reject the form of Catholicism while trying to Americanize the function of Catholic theology. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there are people who would literally punch me in the face if I were able to accurately show them just how Catholic they really were in their practice.
I'd like to watch that.
Yeah, well, there are a lot
just
of people
to see
would.
How it went down. Yeah, it'd yeah. be a good YouTube.
What is it with video. Punching in us? We're like we're the last time we were guys punching. Were talking about punching each other and
it's yeah. we're repressed rage.
Yeah. just working that out here.
Should we go with kicking, Brett? Would that be more palatable for you?
So the problem is you get into so many more unfortunate directions, and I just say punch you in the face, and
okay,
everyone knows
that's,
that.
That's yeah. fine. Yeah,
but
so how? I mean, in light of all of the, let's say you're in a Lutheran, you're a pastor of a Lutheran church, but your people maybe aren't quite fully Lutheran, or maybe they don't appreciate everything about being a Lutheran. How can you win them over to? And I'm not saying this like this is me, but like in general. But
let's say there's a pastor among us who has failed miserably to do this. Yeah. Hypothetically, we'll call him Brent Bowl.
It's like Minute Bowl.
Solid rock people. Let's talk. But I guess what I'm saying is, I'm just trying to think about this in my mind of like, do you say, you want? Let's just try it. Let's, you know, what would be some of your tactics to try to?
To me, the proof is in the pudding, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
To me, it's what is the result? The end result of hearing your pastor say your sins are forgiven is an unburdening of your conscience. That's a positive and good thing. There's nothing wrong with that. And once you realize, oh, wow, this is actually what the Bible says, he's simply speaking, declaring what God has already declared. This feels nice. I like this. You know, versus that constant treadmill of trying to please God over and over again. And to be able to share that with them, I think, you know, and there's different ways to do this. There's different, you know, venues in which you can have this conversation in the church. There's different ways to have it. But I think just talking about the benefit of a thing. Why is this biblical? Why is it beneficial? How does it magnify Christ in the gospel? And I think that opens our eyes to realize, oh, okay, so this isn't, quote-unquote, scare quote, Catholic, right?
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, actually, what I do is, I started doing this very early in my career as a pastor, is when someone wants to come to me for pastoral counseling or discipleship needs, is I require that person to go through private confession and absolution with me in the first meeting. And after that, it's optional. But in, you know, nearly 15 years of doing this, at this point, only one person hasn't kept doing that. And so what ends
like
up happening...
Each time you meet with them? Yeah.
So nice. What ends up happening is that confession and absolution end up being the primary focus of my pastoral counseling, which I think is the appropriate kind of venue or context for pastoral counseling, is that we are doing the ministry of the word.
Yep.
We are doing the application of the gospel. We are handling the keys. That's what we've been called to do. And like, you know, like kind of like what Adam said, the whole thing's exposure. And you can't be exposed to it unless you give it a shot. And, you know, you walk through... The thing about private confession absolution, even as like Concordia Publishing House or various publishing wings of the Missouri Synod have made a really nice kind of liturgy for it or a pattern for it, is you can expand that based on where the person is or where they're coming from. Yeah. And so you don't have to do it.
Pastor,
you don't have to do it rote. Mm-hmm. You walk through each element and explain
more
it
than
to
just
them.
A pastor. Sorry. Mm-hmm.
And it's really helpful. And it's really powerful. And, you know, a lot of what we do in the American church, even as American Lutherans, is exposing people to the right functioning and right doctrine of things that are sacramental. You know, is recapturing that. Because American Christianity did the great hijack of the sacraments are something we do for God. Everything in the Christian life is an expression of us serving God. I know more Christians that are obsessed with obedience than anything else. And you have to be careful how you say that. It's like, well, so you don't like obedience? It's like, no, but it's not central to the Christian life in the way that you think it's central to the Christian life, because the Christian life is all about what God is giving me and not what I'm doing for God. You end up with a very incomplete God if the expression of your Christian life is what you need to do for him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, thanks, guys. And yeah.
And this came to mind, this little bit of a shift here. There's, you know, there's a push in Protestantism to go back to the Word, right? And to look what the Word says, let the Word be the director of this. And, you know, in one of the favorite passages or books of many who would call things, quote unquote, scare quote, Catholics, Catholic, is the book of James. There's a lot of, you know, good practical wisdom of obedience in there and everything. And at the very end of James, he talks about that. He says, confess your sins one to another that you may be healed, and pray for one another that you may be healed. There's this whole pattern. It's the command of Scripture to do this. It doesn't say confess your sins to God or, you know, have a private time of, you know, prayer and, you know, and not that those things are wrong or by any means forbidden, but it says confess your sins to one another and pray for one another and you will be healed. There is a healing aspect to the forgiveness of sins that really is balm for the soul. It needs to be appreciated. It needs to be used. It shouldn't be neglected. And I think just like anything in the church, I think it's easy for us to start to argue about words and to paint things and pictures of, oh, that's part of that camp or this camp or whatever. Let's look at the text of Scripture. Let's look at the end result. What does God promise? Forgiveness of sins is a pretty big deal, and it's a pretty comforting thing.
I think right here is a really good point for us to remember that the target of everything in the Lutheran Book of Concord is the comfort of the burdened conscience. And it's really, that is what confession and absolution is intended for. This is, it's not compulsory. It's not, you know, magical in the sense that it, you know, you're solving a problem with the snap of your fingers. It's, are you burdened by your sins? Are you weighed down by the trials in life? Have you been suffering and deceived yourself into thinking God is punishing you? Those are all ways that the burdened conscience expresses itself in real time. And the point of confession and absolution is to remind and then apply to the conscience that at any given moment in time, when God looks at you, he sees Jesus. And so confession and absolution is to get us back to that point of assurance of salvation, because we're always doing the work of disqualifying ourselves from the grace of God because we don't deserve it. And the message of the gospel is, no, God knows you don't deserve it, but he did it for you because you need it.
Yeah. Amen. Well, let's end at that spot. Good grace. Cleaning the conscience as we end this episode.
Thank you for joining us. Please look us up on the web at beinglutheran.com. Also, invite a friend to check us out on Spotify and iTunes. Register now for the Summer Institute of Theology, August 5th through the 9th. Join other pastors and lay leaders on the campus of the Free Lutheran Bible College and Seminary in Plymouth, Minnesota. Learn from featured guest Dr. Harold Sinkbeil, author of The Care of Souls. Additional workshop topics include Means of Grace in the Congregation, the Book of Romans, Lutheranism in Scandinavia, and Youth and Family Ministry. Find the full list of speakers and registration information at flbc.edu/sit. God bless you and have a great week.